When I arrived at the ocean beach the other day, a southeast gale had been blowing all morning, warm and welcome after a week of cold northerly winds. It had been raining earlier, but now it had turned into a drying wind. I stood on the edge of the bluff overlooking the beach, the sand stinging my eyes. At the very edge, the wind was so strong that I could lean 10 or 15 degrees into it, resting my body on its strength. Dark surf and somber clouds marched in together from the sea like complementary armies. The tide was still low, exposing a few rocks, but was starting to climb. I made my way down to the beach, which had the look of an abandoned frontier. The surf had churned up ahead of muddy suds, which the wind tore apart in large, frothy chunks that scurried and curled about my ankles like old newspapers, and then blew away in the gale like shreds of illusions. The waves themselves seemed to be held or pressed down by the weight of the wind, and I walked calmly down to the edge to watch the insatiable fury of the breakers end in cowed, patient nibbles. I fancied myself one of the winter shorebirds, slipping easily in and out of the seething surf. For an hour or more, I walked north, indifferently beachcombing, while the tide crept in. I picked up a small coil of copper wire, a beautiful, highly striated piece of black granite, and what appeared to be a small piece of whale baleen. Earlier this fall, on another beach walk, I'd picked up a small surf clam and stuck it in the pocket of my windbreaker, intending to have it with dinner that night. But I forgot about it, and 4 weeks later, on another walk, I reached into my pocket and found it there, still alive, a Jonah among clams, and threw it back into the surf. Further along, the beach became wider. The previous high tide had chewed away a 4-foot-high cut at its front edge. Now the tide, rising again, began to throw waves up over this barrier of its own making, making lakes and rivers of an hour on the upper beach. Here was time-lapse geology, where river mouths and spillways of Cascadian proportions formed and dissolved again in a matter of minutes. I saw large logs tossed about and lost in the muddy tumult. Loose lines of geese hurried south directly overhead, their beaks into the wind, long necks undulating. A few gulls flew up from the sands like ashes. Farther north, where the glacial scarp curved westward out of sight, I could see the black outline of a tree suspended over the edge of the cliff, frozen in the act of falling. Below it all was a whirling yellow haze, blurred by wind and sand. In that strange apocalyptic light, I seemed to be watching creation falling into oblivion, only to be refunded again into new creation. Once again, I found myself standing on the edge of mystery, and I felt that in such a place as this, it was both possible and fitting to cultivate ecstasy.